We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
IB Nation, welcome back to another edition of the Irish Breakdown Podcast. It is Wednesday, April 17th, which means we are just 3 days away from the Notre Dame Blue Gold game, which will be the conclusion of the Notre Dame spring session. And today we're going to talk a little Notre Dame football. We're going to talk about some questions and some answers that we know about this Notre Dame football team at this time. I think we all understand that the big scrimmage, the big practice that took place for Notre Dame this spring happened Saturday. Now it's just about finishing things off right with this last couple practices, and then, of course, the Blue Gold game on Saturday. So we're going to have a lot to discuss about that. Tomorrow I'll have a preview of the Blue Gold game, things I'm looking for, things I want to see. Friday we'll have our mailbag. Saturday after the Blue Gold game, Vince and I will be here for a post-game show after the game is concluded. We'll both head home from the stadium and be ready to rock and roll, talk about that. And then next week, we're going to launch a new look Irish Breakdown show. So some of it will be familiar. We'll have things where we talk about topics, but we have some other things that we're looking to do as well that we're finalizing and thinking through and talking through that we're going to be including in segments moving forward as well. I'm going to put some stuff on the message board about that later, the Champions Lives message board, which you can find at boards.irishbreakdown.com, where I also have some intel on a transfer that is going to be visiting Notre Dame this week. So what the latest is with that and why Notre Dame is looking at that player. You can find that on the premium message board as well. So you're going to check all that stuff out. But today I'm going to be talking questions and answers for Notre Dame this spring. And before we begin, I do want to thank my guy, John Long. Thank you so much for the super chat, John. John, appreciate you. Thanks for your info. Love the show. I appreciate that very, very much, John, and I'm glad you like that information. I believe John is referring to what I had on the message board today about the transfer player that is going to be visiting Notre Dame this week.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it. 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So I'm going to kick things off today. Part one of the show is going to look at, and it's going to be broken into two segments. Part one of today's show is going to focus on the things we know about this Notre Dame football team, answers that we know this team has found. And some of them will be, you know, not unexpected, things that we either thought coming into the spring or things that were true of the team in 2023. But every team is different. Every Notre Dame team is different, just like every Bama team is different, every Georgia team is different, every Ohio State team is different, et cetera, et cetera. And strengths 1 year don't always carry over to the next year. And so that's why it is worth looking at certain things, saying, okay, that was a strength last year. It looks to still be a strength this upcoming season. And those are aspects of this that we'll talk about today. So I do believe that when Notre Dame gets to the end of, now that they're getting to the end of spring, we can look and say, hey, I feel pretty good about that part of the team being a strength or a potential strength going into the fall. And then the second part of the show, we'll get into questions that still remain. Look, whether we're talking about Notre Dame, Georgia, Bama, Ohio State, Texas, Oregon, Ole Miss, whoever we're talking about, every team has questions coming out of the spring as well. And if anyone tells you that a team does not have questions, they're not being truthful with you. Every team has questions. There's always development that happens as you get more and more into the off season. You know, who you are at the end of March or at the end of April or at the end of May, you better hope is not who you are when you get to the end of September, the end of October, the end of November, into the postseason, or even into fall camp. There's always a development that happens. But what you need coming out of the spring is you need to know that you have some answers and some things you can build your team around, some things that you can hang your hat on as you go into the off season. If you don't have any answers or a lot of answers going into the offseason, it can get concerning about where you are as a football team. And so we're going to talk first about the answers. And I'm going to go with four answers in each section, or in both sections, and four questions in the offensive section, and then only really three questions that I have for defense. I can kind of throw a fourth general one in there, but it's really just three questions that we look at. There's the fourth is health. I mean, they need to be healthy, but we'll get into that. But let's begin with a look at the Notre Dame offense and the answers that I believe we have about the Notre Dame offense, because I would argue that there's more pressing questions on offense than there is on defense. And the reason that I believe that to be true is because the defense has so much of what was already proven last season returning. Of course, there are questions on defense because they've got to talk about how they're going to replace Cam Hart and Javonte Jean-Baptiste and some players like that. But, you know, this is a team that returns three players that were All-Americans last year, and Xavier Watts and Benjamin Morrison and Howard Cross, or the last 2 years in some capacity. The offense, however, not only lost some very significant players like the defense, but they don't return the known commodities, at least that were at Notre Dame, known commodities in Notre Dame as the defense. And so finding answers on offense was even more important, in my opinion, than finding answers on defense. And I believe that they have. And we'll dive into some of those things. And it's not as simple as, well, you know, Mike Denbrock's the new offensive coordinator. Like, we already know that. That's a good thing. And we understand that's a positive in the coaching staff and all that. But it's more about, okay, what will the first edition of the Mike Denbrock offense at Notre Dame during a second go-round look at? And that's where you need to find answers for this football team as you move forward into the end of the spring and then going into the summer and into fall camp. So answer number one, and I'm going to go with more of a position group before I get into an individual player that has definitely stepped up as an answer, and that's running back. And this shouldn't surprise anyone. When you look at the running back position this spring, you came into it with high expectations. You know what I should do first before I begin? I should explain to you guys where I'm getting, what's the basis of my answers and the basis of my questions. So just so you understand, you say, well, you saw two full practices of 14 and then some little bits of five. That's a very good point. Where I'm getting this from is, number one, what I have seen from practices, what I did see in the scrimmage, what I did see in the opening practice, what we have seen in between. It also comes from conversations that I'm having with folks around the program and all different levels. And so just when I hear things consistently, that's when I start to say, okay, they believe that this is true, or this player's done this. You know, sometimes you'll get information about, hey, this guy did well, but then, you know, you talk to three or four or five other sources and they don't have the same opinion. Then you say, well, okay, well, I'm for as far as what we can know, I'm going to go with the fact that more people are a little bit concerned about this position than people that are, you know, thinking that this position is a strength. And so that's kind of where a lot of this comes from. So it's what I see, number one, but it's also countered with what I'm hearing about what's going on within the program, because there's no way I could give you a real accurate view of what the questions and answers are based off just what we've seen. You know, like I thought CJ Carr did a great job in the scrimmage on Saturday, right? But he's not in my answer section because we saw him good on one practice, right? With running with second and third teamers. So he looked great in the other practices. What, CJ Carr looked great during individual drills? That's all we've seen him do. Of course he did. Of course Kenny Minchie's looking look great in that. It's more about what I've seen, but then also what I've heard. And I feel like that's going to give you guys a much more full picture of what's going on. So I just want to make sure that you understand where this is rooted. I think that's important. So let's get back to the topic. And number one is running back. As I said, we all thought that coming into the spring that running back was going to be a strength. It was a potential strength because it's talented. And so coming out of the spring, as we get closer to the blue gold game, we've learned a lot more about the running back room. And now it's more so about what we know about the room than what we think could be about the room. Now, of course, there's still, I got to go see it in the fall. But there's a lot of talent in this room that has you excited about what they are. And it starts at the top. It starts with Jeremiah Love and Jadarian Price. This is a really dynamic 1-2 punch. And as long as they can keep this duo together and healthy, they got a chance to do some special things together. And in today's era of college football and the NFL, teams just don't do the workhorse running back as much as they have in the past. Even Audric Estime, who was a heck of a player at Notre Dame last year, put up over 1,300 yards, 1,341 yards, had 18 touchdowns. Even he was in a situation where he did not have to be the full-time workhorse the way that running backs have been in the past. They just didn't ask him to be that kind of player. And you think back to, you know, days where you're talking about a running back getting 20-plus carries a game. You know, Audric last year averaged 17.5 carries per game. That number was bumped up by a couple games late in the season. He had 22 carries against Wake, 25 against Stanford. And I believe the staff kind of knew this was going to be the end of Audric's tenure. In the 10 games prior to that, he only carried the ball 20 times or more twice. He had games of 13 carries, 14 carries, 14 carries, 10 carries. So he was the number one back. But even still, with him being the number one back and a much more prominent figure than we'd seen before, we still saw other opportunities from other backs. You know, Jeremiah Love and Jadarian Price, for example, last year rushed for 657 yards and 4 touchdowns last season. Just those two guys combined is sort of the 2A, 2B running backs last season. Well, now that duo becomes 1A and 1B, and they bring some very exciting aspects to it. And when you are able to use more of a rotation, it keeps guys fresher. It keeps defenses on their toes, especially when you have guys that have explosiveness, but also somewhat of a unique skill set. You know, when Notre Dame had that two-headed monster a couple years ago in 2022, which was a very good 1-2 punch of Audric Estime and Logan Diggs, the one thing we would talk about is that duo was kind of the same guy. You know, Logan and Audric went about the game very similar. Run plays that work for Audric or run plays that work for for Logan. And so when you brought one in over the other, it wasn't necessarily something that threw a different wrinkle at teams. You could say, you know, Logan brought some unique pass game opportunities of running back. We saw Logan with some big plays in the pass game in 2022. He caught the wheel route for a touchdown against North Carolina. He caught the little slide route that he turned into a 75-yard touchdown on, working out to the right as far against South Carolina. But overall, they were a very similar player. There are certainly some similarities between Jadarian and Jeremiah. They can both run between the tackles with speed and explosiveness. They can both run with authority when needed. They can both have home run speed. But how they attack the game, in my opinion, is a little bit different. And you have to have some wrinkles for both players. And we saw that this spring, especially when it comes to the pass game. And that's where I think this duo has really emerged as a potential game-changing group, because you can use them together. If you put Logan and Audric in the game in 2022, you're running the football. That's it. You're running the football. When you put this duo in the game together in 2024, you can line up with them both in the backfield and do some really fun, interesting things with motions and lead blockers and screen game and misdirection runs and read zones and counters and all types of stuff that you can do. However, you would be in a situation where you can now move a guy outside. You can take Jeremiah Love, put him outside, and allow him to do some things in the throwing game and the screen game outside that will allow you to attack defenses in a much, much different way than what you've seen in the past with dual threat running backs, or when you have multiple running backs in Notre Dame, whether it was 2017 when you had really three running backs that played a lot with Josh Adams, Dexter Williams, Tony Jones, whether it was the Theo Riddick, Sierre Wood duo back in 2012, whether it was the Sierre Wood, Jonas Gray duo in 2011, you had backs that were very similar players and were used in similar fashion. This group has a chance to be much different, and we've seen all spring this duo show the athleticism that you want to see from that group. We've seen them make plays. I've heard a lot of different things about how they're using these two guys, not just in a rotation, but together, that is going to excite Notre Dame fans. But that's not the only reason the running back room is what I view as an answer this spring. We've also seen the depth get tested. And so, you know, you're in a situation where Notre Dame is, you know, this spring had to get their depth tested. We saw Jabron Payne was not, at times, wasn't getting a lot of reps, but because I believe he was nursing to some things, that's my opinion. You're in situations where Kedron Young flashes really early and then gets injured. He has a hamstring injury and he misses the spring, most of the spring. That allows Aeneas Williams to step in the lineup, and Aeneas shines. And so you've seen all five backs at different times get opportunities this spring, and I've heard great things about all five backs, to where you're in a situation where with two guys banged up, you were still 1, 2, 3, boom, you were good. Which means you get into the fall, you can withstand a transfer and an injury or two injuries and still feel like you're going to have an outstanding at least three backs that you can throw at teams when you head into the fall. And that's a great place to be for Notre Dame. So it's not just Jeremiah and Jadarian. They're going to get the majority of the conversation, rightfully so, because of how good they are. But you're also in a situation where you have got some very good depth behind it. So you don't have to wear down those two running backs, especially in some games, let's be honest, in, you know, Northern Illinois, Miami of Ohio, Stanford. Those are games where ideally you don't have to go out there and put 25, 30 touches on those two backs, that you'll be able to utilize other aspects of your offense. And so I look at the running back room and say, you had hope that it would step up in the spring. And from all accounts, it has done absolutely that. We didn't see this group get to do a lot in the scrimmage because it was clear that it was, you know, focusing on the throwing game and building up the throwing game and getting that part of the offense going, which needs more work, in my opinion, this spring than the run game does. But even in that, you saw Jadarian with some really nice cuts, maximizing yardage, getting 4 or 5 yards when 4 or 5 yards is all you're going to get. That's an important part of playing running back. We saw Jeremiah Love get the chance to run over a defensive back in the hole, did just that, put his head down, ran the guy over. Saw Jeremiah make a nice catch on a slant throw, defender draped all over him. Wasn't a big gain, but 4 or 5 yards is better than an incomplete pass with a guy draped all over you. So those are all things that you really like to see from the running back room, and we saw all of those this spring. So running back, certainly for me, is an answer that Notre Dame has found this spring. Number two is wide receiver, Jaden Greathouse. You want to talk about a room that still has plenty of questions, and I'm going to talk about the receiver room when I get to the question section. But one of the questions is, does anyone emerge as the dude? You know, we talked about, you know, there's a lot of numbers there. There's a lot of good talent there. There's a lot of production there. But would anyone emerge at wide receiver as that dude? Well, for the spring, that answer was obvious day one, and it continued all spring. Jaden Greathouse was that guy all spring. We saw it in the scrimmage this past Saturday, but the Saturday was not the only time we've seen Jaden Greathouse dominate. For those who are regular listeners of this podcast, you've heard me talk about Jaden Greathouse, I believe, after every practice and every practice report. We've talked about how good Jaden Greathouse looks. So more explosive than he was last year, more confident than he was last year in what he's doing. Not confident in himself. Jaden's always been confident in himself, as you need to be as a top receiver, but confident in what he's being asked to do. I mean, much greater knowledge of the system and little intricacies of where to line up. I mean, we saw him in the scrimmage on Saturday looking around and getting other people lined up, making sure other guys were lined up appropriately. And those are things that you want to see. Route running was outstanding. Ball skills are outstanding. Notre Dame put out a video today of Jaden Greathouse highlights. If you have not seen it, you can go to Twitter and you can find it. Notre Dame had it on their feed a little bit ago. And you watch and you're just like, this is ridiculous. He's making like tough grabs over Xavier Watts. And those are things we've seen in practice. Those are things we saw in the scrimmage. And talking to various sources, I mean, you just hear from everybody. The one constant, there's been one constant that I have heard from every source I have around the program at any level, any direction, and that is that Jaden Greathouse has been that dude all spring. And that's a great sign, because why does it matter to have that dude arrive? Number one, there's the obvious things. You get into a game, who's that player that you have to defend? Who's that player you have to, you know, worry about? Who you have to game plan around? Who's that guy that is an offensive staff? You say, hey, we got to make sure we get this guy touches and get this guy opportunities. There's all those practical reasons. But there's some other reasons that, as a former receivers coach, I always felt it was important to find and identify or develop a player that had a chance to be that impact dude at the top of your depth chart. And when I say dude, I'm referring to a guy that's just a difference maker, a guy that just every time he's out there, you feel like he's going to do something. For me, I found as a coach, what I found as someone who observes wide receivers and analyzes this position group a lot, that when you have that type of player, it can elevate the entire room, because you all want touches, right? Receivers want touches. I mean, why else play receiver if you don't want the football? And so when you look at Notre Dame in this room, you've got guys like Chris Mitchell that are developing and coming along. You're going to have Jordan Faison back in the fall. You're going to have Bo Collins showing up. You've got Jaden Thomas and Deion Colsey for now. You've got K.K. Smith had a very good spring. You've got Cam Williams as a rookie. You've got Micah Gilbert as a rookie. And I know that there's some guys that I'm leaving out, but the fact of the matter is, when you have a guy like Jaden Greathouse doing what he's doing, if you want burn, if you want touches, if you want to be a guy that's counted on, there's a new standard bearer for how you have to go about your business every day. And there's a standard bearer for the type of production and the type of playmaking you have to have every day if you want to be that guy. If you want more touches, okay, you need to then watch 19 and be like, that's why we're giving him the ball. And it can get into sort of a anything you can do, I can do better type of situation. And that's where you want to be. And we've seen that from Jaden Greathouse all spring. Turning quick throws into big plays. I mean, he caught a pass on Saturday in the scrimmage. Short pass, makes a guy miss, boom, rips it off for 30 yards. We've seen him stretch the field. We've seen him make tough catches down in the field. We've seen him work the intermediate to deeper zones on horizontal type of routes. He's really everything he's been able to do to be a big play guy. And so he's been impactful all spring, and he has kind of set that standard at the receiver room. So if you're Jaden Thomas or Deion Colsey or Bo Collins or Chris Mitchell or K.K. Smith or Jordan Faison or whoever else, Cam Williams, Micah Gilbert, Logan Soldate, when he shows up, Jaden Harrison, who I didn't mention earlier, all these guys, if you want to be a bigger factor in the offense, you got to play with that guy. And that's a great thing for this offense. Now, there's still a lot of work to be done in the pass game for Notre Dame, but coming out of the spring with a player establishing himself, not because other guys were hurt or other guys weren't around or other guys didn't play well, but establishing himself with his own play is a great thing that I wasn't sure we were going to find coming out of this first spring. And Jaden Greathouse was that guy from day one this spring. Third thing that we've seen, and a lot of these answers are specific parts of units where the unit is still a work in progress, but these players have stepped up and emerged. And a couple things that I think Notre Dame has found answers for, and there could be some pushback on this one from people, because, and even from myself, the reason I'm including this group, I'll explain it, and it comes down to the young offensive linemen. I'm looking at Charles Jagasaw, Billy Shrout, and Ashton Craig. And here's what I mean. Are they finished products? No, they're not. Is a lot of technical work needed from this group? Absolutely. Do they have to develop individually, or do they have to develop, in these other areas where as a unit? Yes. And so when I look at this room, it begins with the talent. You have to have talent. You have to have players that have the potential to be dominant players. And when I look at this group, I see that. I'm seeing more of that, and the people I talk to are seeing that. And that's a really good thing. And it begins with Charles Jagasaw. Again, Charles Jagasaw is still very much a work in progress. But what you wanted to see this spring was he going to build on what he did at the end of last season? You didn't expect Charles Jagasaw to come out of the end of spring looking like senior year version of Ronnie Stanley or junior year version of Joe Walt or even freshman year version of Joe Walt, because Joe Walt's a different player with a different background that had a different type of development. but you wanted to say, could he be an even better player than he was in the fall? Could he be a guy that shows dominant aspects in on the field, or is he just big? And he's done that. He did that in the scrimmage, even with his struggles. You saw some moments of dominance, and he's established himself as a left tackle. You have an answer at left tackle. How good will he be? That remains a question. But what he has done is he's established himself and entrenched himself where you feel like, okay, we've got to work with this guy. We've got to continue developing this guy, but he's that guy at left tackle. Ashton Craig's been very good up the middle. Haven't heard nothing but rave reviews about him. Thought he played relatively well in the scrimmage from what I could tell. It was hard to really break down the offensive line in the scrimmage because we don't have replay, so you're watching everything live, and I wanted to watch the perimeter stuff. But I'd watch the offensive line at times, and you'd be in situations where you'd see him and say, okay, you're seeing good things from him, and he's building on what's kind of happening before. And you feel like, okay, the center position, again, has been entrenched. Does Ashton Craig not have to get better? Yes, he has to get better. Does he have to become more consistent? Yes, he has to be more consistent. Are there technical aspects he has to improve? Yes, he has technical aspects he has to improve. But do you feel coming out of the spring that he has entrenched himself as the center and entrenched himself as a foundational piece of this offense? That answer is yes. So again, this discussion with the O-line is a little bit of a both and type of thing where that's still question marks, but you feel good about the direction they're going as you get towards the end of spring. So you feel like you found some answers about where they are. And then the last one is right guard Billy Shrouth. From the people I've talked to around the program, it sounds like Billy Shrouth has had the best spring of all the offensive linemen, which is a very good sign. And if you want evidence of that, last year's 10-game starter at right guard, Rocco Spindler, started the spring off at right guard. There was a battle going off there. And then what we've seen is you've seen him play some at left guard and Rocco's been at left guard. And so I've reached around it and I've not reached around it, but I've reached out to different people and, you know, hey, kind of what's going on there. And it sounds like Rocco's moving to left guard to get a chance to battle for that left guard job. What would be the reason you would move Rocco Spindler to left guard if Billy Shrouth hadn't cemented himself as the right guard? And that's a key. Last year, Billy did some nice things coming out of spring, right? Like last year, Billy came out of spring as a starter at left guard, but he hadn't cemented himself as that guy, which when you went into the fall, that allowed Pat Coogan to beat him out. Okay. That's a good thing because guy didn't play well enough and somebody else beat him out. Now we could debate, should you played him more? I don't want to rehash that again. But the fact is, Billy did not cement himself as that player. Coming out of this spring, you're looking at a situation where you're like, well, you've got a 10-game starter at his position, and you move that guy over to battle with a 13-game starter at left guard. The reason why? Billy has become that guy. Billy has become that, okay, he's doing all the things you need him to do. He's being consistent. He's being physical. He's learning. He's developing. He's coachable. He's doing all the things that you need. He's dependable. You know, in the weight room, in the film room, in the meetings, and on the field. And so he's established himself, and that's a good thing. And now that allows, you know, Rocco to kind of be a guy that can, you know, battle left guard, but also still, you know, push it right if Billy doesn't continue that. But coming out of the spring, I had a bit of a kind of a fingers crossed moment with Billy Shrouth that I hoped that he would do what he has done, and he's done it. Now the key for Billy is, okay, you've now locked that spot down. Now it's not, you know, like this isn't like the program where you find out you're starting and you run outside and slam your head through a, you know, a car door, you know, a car window because you're a starter. No, a starter's just, okay, you're starting. Now go do something with it. And that's where Billy is as a player. He now has to go do something with it. And he had a good spring. He took steps towards that. And I feel like when you look at the offensive line, you're coming out of the spring feeling like at three spots, you know who your guys are. Not only do you know who they are, but you also feel like they've set a baseline of play that makes you feel good about what they can be and what they can kind of develop into as players. And that's a good place to be. With three offensive linemen. Again, still a work in progress. still a work in progress, but they're further along now than they were. And I didn't think the offensive line played great in the spring scrimmage on Saturday. But as I told some folks that I talked to, I said, look, I didn't expect them to play that great in the spring in that scrimmage, because they're still a young group and a work in progress going against a really good defensive line. But what we saw from Rudolph's group on Saturday was, while there's still a lot of work to be done technically and things like, they competed, they battled, they had some really good moments in the run game. And those are things that you feel like you can build around as you continue to establish your offensive identity and your offensive football team. Last one for me on the offense, and this is one I'll be a little brief on because it's more of a depth thing. We knew that Mitchell Evans is the guy at tight end when he's healthy. That's not debatable. When Mitchell's healthy, he's their starter. He's their go-to guy. He can be an impact player tight end. But as I've also said, and we all acknowledge, all of us here acknowledge, there's a question, though, is can Mitchell stay healthy and be healthy for a full season? Number one, will he even be healthy to start the season? That's a legitimate question. If he is healthy to start the season, what will he be when, you know, you get to games 8, 9, 10, 11, 12? Will he be healthy and be able to go then? And now you're talking about, to win a championship, you've got to play 16 games. Mitchell Evans hasn't even shown that he can play 13 games in a season. He hasn't even shown that he can play a full season. And that's a concern. So then you have to ask yourself, well, what if Mitchell goes down? I mean, if you have him for healthy for 8 games, that's 8 games. You're going to have one of the 5 or 6 best tight ends in college football. But what if he's not healthy? And then what do you have as far as your number two and your number three tight ends? Are they just blockers? And you feel like, okay, with Eli Raridan, we know he can be a difference maker. We've seen that. And so with Eli, the spring was just about keep him healthy. And so we saw that. But I felt nervous going into the spring with just Mitchell and Eli as playmakers in the pass game at tight end. We know that Cooper Flanagan can block. We saw him do that as a true freshman. The odds of him regressing as a blocker as he gets older and stronger are not great, right? They're kind of slim. The question, however, could be, could Cooper be a difference maker, or at least a very productive member of the pass game? And this spring we saw that. And the spring game we saw, or the scrimmage, we saw that to a degree. I mean, he did catch 4 passes, I think it was, for about 33 yards. He was open a couple other times over the middle for what could have been bigger plays. He's not going to remind anyone of Tyler Eifert and how he plays, but I keep thinking about like a Troy Nicholas type of guy, big, tall, long, vertically oriented player. I was more impressed with Cooper as a pass catcher this spring than I thought I was going to be. And not because I didn't think that he had the potential to do it, but we've always felt he could do it, but we just never got a chance to see him do it. Well, with Mitchell out, with Eli limited, we got a lot more of Cooper Flanagan this spring. And watching him make plays down the field was an important aspect to what he can do. And so I feel going into the spring, I'm a lot more confident that Notre Dame is going to have a guy at tight end that forces, that can hurt teams, whether it's Mitchell Evans, whether it's Eli Raridan, or whether it's Cooper Flanagan. So I feel a lot more comfortable with that position in Mike Denbrock's offense after seeing what Cooper has done this spring. I think that's an answer. Is he the answer in that he's going to beat out Mitchell Evans in the fall? I'm not saying that. It doesn't really matter. They're all going to play. What I'm saying is you found a kid in Cooper Flanagan that we know can block, but this kid can be an all-around tight end. And a kid that if he's a starter at some point in time, you're not going to be like, man, that's a bummer, you know, like, they don't, you know, like they lost this guy, they lost that guy. Yeah, this guy's nice, he's solid, but, you know, it's not like going from, with all due respect, Tyler Eifert to like the way the player Ben Koyak was. It's more going from, okay, you went from Tyler Eifert to Troy Nicholas, and you're like, well, that's still pretty good, you know, or you went from Michael Mayer to Mitchell Evans. That's still pretty good. And that's what I've seen from Cooper this spring, is he gives me that confidence that, like, at this point in time, whether it's 88, 9, or 87, I don't really worry about the tight end position. And that's a great place to be. And I don't know that I felt that way coming in the spring. It was still, I thought it could work out that way, but we hadn't seen it. And so those are the answers that I think we have found that I can confidently say, if you're looking forward to the fall, what do you right now have confidence are going to be the strengths of your football team? I feel great about the running back room. I feel great about Jaden Greathouse going out there and being that guy. I feel like the talent of the offensive line is going to be as good, if not better, across the board than it was a year ago. Is Charles Jagasaw as good as Joe Alt? No. Is Charles Jagasaw still really talented? Yes. Are you more talented at center? Yes. Are you more talented at right guard? Yes. Do you have a potential to be even more talented at left guard? Yeah, because you're either going to have the same guy a year older or that guy's going to get beat out by somebody else. And so you feel really good about the talent level at least three of your five offensive line positions, if not four, compared to where it was a year ago. And that's certainly a good place to be. And when you can lose a guy like Joe Walt, who was talented, was a leader, was steady and consistent, and just the best tackle in college football last year, snap after snap, game after game, that's a big hole. But when you can put a kid like Charles Jagasaw with his size, with his athleticism, with his power in there and say, can this guy hold his own? Yeah, he can. And that's a good foundation to build your team around. Plus, you have Jaden Greathouse stepping up, as I mentioned, and Cooper Flanagan helps solidify that depth chart at tight end. Those are all really, really good answers for Notre Dame to have found on the offensive side of the ball as they go into the summer and go into the offseason.